Welcome to Serenity Church, y'all. All right. And what a wonderful night it is. And I'm tired. I'm a little bit tired of our retreat. This is the first time we've done it in the summer. And it was hot. But I came in. As soon as I came in, there was some ladies here who said, "Boy, you got work to do tonight." And I was dragging. And they prayed for me, and during that worship, man, I could just feel the energy coming back, and I thank you, Jesus, for doing that. I needed that, and so I'm excited about this. One of the first things I want to do is we need to pass the baskets and put your money in there. I'm not short of begging at this point, you know. It takes a little bit of funds to do the things we do. We support some other ministries and stuff like that too, but also we have to pay for our own facilities and pay for things here. So whatever you can do helps. And so the next thing I want you to do is make sure you have a bulletin or a Bible or pen, whatever you need. If you don't have one of those, raise your hand. These guys right here will bring you one of those. And in that bulletin, if you'll open it up, you'll see in color now where it says your story. And you can take that home. I know that in the past we've just been popping it up on the screen and we expect you to pull out your phone and scan that QR code, but it's in the bulletin now. You can take that home. You can scan that. Tell us your story. Tell us your story. It's important to tell people your story and what Jesus has done in your life. So make sure you do that. And there's going to be a few notes that you can take home with you tonight, too. So we are in, this is the last of the messages on our supernatural God. Of course, all our messages are about our supernatural God, but this particular month, we've been focusing just on the supernatural part of our God. And so I did one early in the month, and there's been several throughout this month, but this is the second one, so I called it part two for me. It's part two, and I really did that. Trina, she was making a bullet. "Why are you calling it part two?" And I said, "Well, really, I wrote it on the top so I wouldn't get them mixed up." And so what I want to do is recap part one. I want to recap part one. And I talked about in 1 Kings 18 where Elijah takes on 450 prophets of Baal. And you think, well, how does this one man take on these prophets? 400 of them. Well, two things. He had faith in God, and the other thing is their God was fake. It wasn't real. And so what he did is he told them, what we're going to do here is he went to the people and he said, tell all the people to go to Mount Carmel, to the top of the mountain up here. And so everybody from the village went up there, and he said, all you prophets of Baal, what I want to do is let's make an altar and sacrifice to our God. And so he said, you guys build you an altar, and then we're going to go get a bull. And I said this the last time, it didn't say bull calf. It was a bull. And in my experience, I've been around bulls. I was raised on a farm, and they're 16 to 2,000 pounds, they're large animals. And so they cut this bull up. The prophets of Baal built their altar. They cut this bull up. And what Elijah said is, we're both going to do the same thing. We're both going to build one of these altars. And who's ever God will light the fire for us, we'll know that's the true God. So they built the altar. The 450 prophets built the altar. They prayed, they danced, they cut themselves, they tore their clothes. I mean, Logan said something this weekend about, why do they tear their clothes? Man, I like my clothes. But they tore their clothes, begging for this God, fake God, to light the fire. And then Elijah, I picture myself doing this, makes fun of them. He's, well, hey, pray harder. Pray a little bit harder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's out on vacation. He's hard of hearing or something. And so they did, and at that point, they started cutting themselves, and poking themselves with their spears and all that. Still nothing happened. Well, they just gave up finally. And Elijah said, well, it's my turn. And so he said, the first thing I want you to do is help me dig a ditch all the way around this altar. Now, think about, I said, a bull. It's probably going to be large. It's going to be a large altar. Big ditch around that altar. And then he said, fill it with water. Fill that sucker up with water to the top. And he goes, then go fill some more jars and pour on top of it and drench everything. And they did. And he said, do it one more time. Do it again. Just one more time for good measure. Let's make sure everything's pretty wet. And then he said, God, light the fire. And God did. So, I said this last time too. We're recapping this. It doesn't say in Scripture anywhere in there that God said, hey, go down there and take on these guys. Go down there and tell them that I'll light this fire and challenge them. Challenge their God to light the fire. It doesn't say that anywhere. I'm sure that Elijah was talking to God and praying and stuff. But Elijah had to have a certain amount of faith that he was going to do that. God didn't tell him, I'm going to light that fire. But he had faith that God would do that. Elijah had faith in our supernatural God. And it paid off. Then I looked at page 54 in the Alcoholics Anonymous book, and I said that there was two sentences that really stood out to me on that page. And it said, imagine life without faith, where nothing left but pure reason. It wouldn't be life. Everything just revolved around reason. Then we looked at Luke 18:35, where Jesus heals a blind man. And we saw that Jesus asked him a question. And that's the question I asked you guys that night. The question was, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, I want you to heal me. That's what he needed. And he said, because of your faith, you are healed. Faith. It was about faith again. A supernatural God that will heal you in every way. And I say every way because some of these things we look at was like, it's not a healing. Okay, a cool story. My mom, without her glasses, she is blind. She can't see. And so there was a time where she lost her glasses for a couple of weeks. And she couldn't drive. My dad was having to read things for her, and she was like, she called me, I guess I'm going to have to make an appointment to get a new pair of glasses because I'm blind without my glasses. And then she called me back. She said, you know, when I got off the phone with you, I stood right in my kitchen. And I said, Jesus, just show me where my glasses are. And she looked up and right on top of the microwave, right in front of her, were her glasses. You know, I tell that story and I talk to my dad, you know, and he was like, yeah, those glasses were there all the time. Well, were they? She said, I know I looked right there before. And they may have been, but maybe she overlooked them. But she asked God to show her where they're at. When she opened her eyes, they were right there. She had faith that Jesus was going to show her where her glasses were. So I want you to open your bulletin to the inside, right-hand side. And there's a couple of things you're going to write down. And this first thing, listen to this. What I've found is that some kind of faith is a factor in healing. Faith is a factor in whatever kind of healing you need. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. It says, Jesus left that place and went to an area of Tyre and called Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that area came to Jesus and cried out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter has a demon and she is suffering very much. But Jesus did not answer. Man, I stopped right there. How many times have we prayed for people and it just seems like Jesus is not answering? Like, there's nothing happened. There's zero change. And we ask and we ask. I know that in prayer, he answers all prayers. It's yes, no, and wait a minute. But when do you know when it's no or wait a minute? You don't. You don't. You don't know if it's wait a minute. Let's go on reading. So his followers came to Jesus and begged him, tell the woman to go away. She was following us around and shouting. She's following us around and shouting. Good for her. Persistent prayer. Persistent. She didn't care what these guys were saying about her. She didn't care that she was being annoying. She was begging for healing, and she was being persistent about it. Jesus answered, God sent me only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel. Then the woman came to Jesus again and bowed down again. She came to him again, persistently. See, when I first started reading the first part of that, let me go ahead and finish. It says, she came to Jesus again and bowed down before him and said, Lord, help me. And Jesus answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Man, I'm telling you, when I first read that, I'm like, what is up with Jesus? Why is he being so rude to her? Jesus loves everybody. If you notice, in the first of that scripture, I mentioned that it's a Canaanite woman. This is a woman from Canaan. And so Jesus tells her, I'm not here for you. I was sent for the children of Israel, and it's not right to give myself out here for y'all. It's not right to throw bread to the dogs. He called her a dog even. I started getting a little resentful. I was like, wait a minute, why are you treating her this way? And the woman said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Humility. Even in the midst of being tested, that's what it was. She was being tested. How many times are we tested in our prayers? How many times have we like, I've been praying forever for this person. I've been praying so hard, and it's like he's not even listening. Does he even care? You know what? I'm not even going to pray no more. It's not what she did. She prayed harder. She begged him. And even when it sounded like he was calling her a dog, she said, yes, you are my master. I just want some crumbs. I just want a little bit of help. A little bit. Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Great faith, not just a little bit. You have great faith, and I will do what you ask. And at that moment, the woman's daughter was healed. There's a lot going on in those 8 verses. A lot. So one of the first things I want to do, I want you to notice that the one begging for healing is not the one who gets healed. The woman was begging for her daughter. The woman said, my daughter has a demon and is suffering. Now, here's what we don't know. We don't know if the daughter was there. Doesn't say. We don't know that the daughter had faith in Jesus at all. We don't know if the daughter was a believer. We don't know anything about this daughter besides the fact that she was possessed by a demon. Now, here's what we do know, and I want you to write this down. God will supernaturally work in someone's life, believer or not, if a believer asks him to in faith. This mom is asking for her daughter. This made me think about my wife, my parents, my mom, my dad, my grandma, my granddad. When I was out there doing the things I was doing, and how long and hard they must have been praying for me. And at any given point, they could have said, I'm done. You're not hearing me. This guy's gone, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm done. I'm done praying for him. I'm done wasting my time talking to you. They didn't do that. They kept praying persistently for me. These people kept asking God for healing on my behalf. While I was demon-possessed. See, I believed in Jesus, but I wasn't following. He was not the most important thing in my life at all. I was the most important thing in my life. What I wanted and what I wanted to do and how I wanted to feel. I didn't care about anybody else. Those people cared about me enough to bring me before God and pray for me and not give up. Pray for me persistently. How much faith does it take? Because obviously we've figured out that faith is a factor in this. How much faith does it take? You know, there's scripture that says the faith the size of a mustard seed. Well, let's look at that. And I want you to write it down. The amount of faith does not matter as long as there is some faith. And faith, who the faith is in, that's what matters. I know a lot of people who come into recovery and they put their faith into the group. They call the group their higher power. Well, I mean, it's a little bit of faith, but it's in the wrong person. It's the wrong thing. Those people, they can help you. They can't heal you. It matters who the faith is in. So let's look at Mark 9. And it says Jesus heals a sick boy. Here's another case of a person asking for healing on another person's behalf. In Mark 9 it says, a man came to Jesus and said, I brought my son with epilepsy to your followers, but they could not heal him. Now, as soon as I read that, I had the question, why? These are the people, these followers were the ones that were standing right next to Jesus. And Jesus had given them powers to do this stuff. But they couldn't heal the boy. And so I Googled it and did a little more research. Why? Why couldn't they? Well, Jesus answers the question in verse 19. He says, you people have no faith. Wait a minute. Then I had to look at who is he talking to right then. Is he talking to those followers who have seen him do these miracles, who have been a part of these miracles happening right before their eyes? Jesus couldn't be possibly talking to them
No, he was talking to the people around him, including the son's father, the one asking for healing. He says, "You people have no faith. Bring the boy to me." In verse 22, the father said, "If you can do anything for him," see, there's doubt. There's doubt just in that statement. If you can do anything for him, please have pity on us and help. In verse 23, Jesus said to the father, "You said if I can?" And in my Bible, there was an exclamation point. Like, he said it loud. You know, like, what do you mean? If I can, well, sure I can. If I can, Jesus says, all things are possible for the one who believes. That statement says, all things are possible for the one who has faith. Immediately, the father cried out, "I do believe." He's changed his mind in that moment to, "Maybe you can do it. I don't know. You've just told me I don't have no faith, but I'm trying. I'm trying real hard here." Well, he was having a little faith when he was trying. He said, immediately the father cried out, "I do believe. Help me believe more." Help me to believe more. How does Jesus do that? Jesus does that, and he heals his son. So how many of us have experienced things like this? I know that I have. That I might have a little bit of faith, like I don't know if Jesus is even hearing me. Man, I've been praying about this thing for so long. Man, if he could just do this one thing, and then he does it, and I'm like, man, all right, Jesus rocks, man, this guy's got it all, he's our supernatural God, and then the next thing happens. Man, God, I hope he hears me. I hope that I have faith that he hears me. I have faith that he can do these things, and then he does, and then I'm like, there he is again, he showed up. Man, I got tired of doing that. I lived my life that way. I got tired of doing that. He has proven himself over and over and over and over again. And when I'm not getting the answer I need or I think I want, right now I have to remind myself, wait. Wait. I'm working on it. I'm working on it in ways you don't even know. Wait. Are you going to be persistent? Are you going to keep asking? Because I might just be testing your faith. Keep asking. The answer is not no until it's done. We don't know if it's wait or no. So we must wait. That little bit of faith that the Father mustered up just at the right moment. Jesus said, "Your son's healed." There again, the son wasn't present. There again, we don't know if the son was a believer. There again, we don't know if he had faith at all, if the son had faith at all. The faith was in the Father. That's who had the faith. No matter how little it was, but he begged for more. This little bit of faith, this reminds me of Matthew 8, where Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of a boat. He's been out working all day, healing people, saving people, preaching all this, and feeding 5,000, actually 14,000 people. And he's like, wore out. He said, "I'm going to get in this boat. You guys, let's shove out to the middle of this lake. I've got to sleep a little bit." He climbs down in the bow of the boat. And I can just picture it. I can picture, like, these guys are all fishermen. They was raised on the water. They know about how storms come up and how to how to navigate through storms and all that. Jesus is laying down in the bottom of the boat. I see him, I picture him curled up. He's got some kind of robe or something, made a pillow out of it, and he's out, just exhausted. And the boat starts rocking. And it starts rocking a little more. He's not fazed about it. He's sleeping. But the guys standing up in the boat, they're fazed. They're in fear. This massive storm comes up. Waves are coming over the side of the boat. I don't know if many of you have been out on a lake when a storm come up. Where's Robert? I know him and Christina have. They lost an entire boat in a storm. Scary. Was it not scary? Scary, right? These guys were full of fear. They were afraid. They were about to die. And they had Jesus on the boat with them. They still had that fear. So they went in there. They got down on the bottom of the boat and they woke him up. And they asked him, "Are you just going to let us die?" He stood up and said, "Hold on. Be still." And it was calm. They looked back at him and he said, "Guys, you have little faith." And you know, throughout the years, I've heard that story and I've heard it, you know, preached on and all that. And these guys' faith was horrible. And you know, you need to have stronger faith in the middle of your fears and things like that. And then these guys did. I mean, these guys were walking right beside Jesus. I mean, right beside. How much more faith could you possibly have? But Jesus looked at him and said, "Ye of little faith." Almost. They had a little faith. He didn't say, "You have no faith." He said, "You have a little faith. Ye of little faith." Why'd he say that? Because they had enough faith to wake him up. They had enough faith to go down there and go, "The only person that can save us is this guy, and he's asleep. We could stand up here and say, 'Hey, Jesus, we need your help. Is he even hearing us? I don't know. He ain't hearing us. Somebody's got to go wake him up."
I'll do it.
I'm scared to death. "Jesus, we need your help. You guys, be still. You have little faith." Enough faith, just enough. He didn't say you have no faith. He had enough. So the amount of faith doesn't matter. We're going to be in doubt. Does he hear me? Oh, gosh, is he going to answer? Is the answer going to be yes? Or is the answer going to be, "Dang it, I got to wait some more"? Ye of little faith. I'm about to the point of wrapping this up. If Roger and the guys want to come on and back up. I'd like to get Roger up here about a page left so he can play behind me and stuff. Sounds cool. Yeah. Yeah. Step there and play the whole time. We're not going to pay you anymore. If you would, turn to John 5. We're going to read John 5, 2 through 6. And it says, "Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colonnades." So that colonnades word, I had to look that up. It's just columns. Why wouldn't they just say columns? "Here a great number of disabled people used to lie there. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" That's the question. That's the question I'm asking you again tonight. Do you want to be healed? Are there loved ones in your life that need healing? Maybe they're not following. Maybe Jesus is not the most important thing in their life. Do you want him to do some healing? That's what he asked this guy. The guy said, "Absolutely." He said, "Take up your mat and walk." And you might be sitting there thinking, "Well, I'm not blind. I can walk. I'm not paralyzed." Think about it like this: maybe spiritually blind. Maybe there's someone spiritually blind in your life that needs healing. Maybe it's you. Maybe there's somebody that's spiritually paralyzed. What does that mean? To me, it means I'm stuck. I've grown this far spiritually, but I'm paralyzed right where I am because I can't get over XYZ. God has brought me to this point spiritually, but I am just stuck here, paralyzed. And I need some healing somewhere in my life so I can walk again. Do you want to be healed? Now, there's some things to weigh here. When Jesus asked that man, "Do you want to be healed?" He had to think, "Well, I've been sitting here 38 years. I've not once had to go work for a meal. I've not once had to go earn some money. Everything that I have is, I don't have much, but it's been provided, and I've been able to live 38 years just like this. Man, things are about to change for this man." Maybe that healing doesn't happen right then. Why? Not ready for the change? Let's pray about these things. In our third step prayer, "Lord, I offer myself to you. Do with me thy will. Relieve me of bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And I do that always." If you'll look there in the last thing on your bulletin, it's the next sentence after that prayer in the AA book. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandoned ourselves utterly to him. Get all in. Your will be done, not mine. If this healing takes me to another place, your will, not mine. If this healing makes me uncomfortable somehow, your will, not mine. But it takes a little bit of faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come on up. We have a couple more. come pray. So I know all these guys, they got lots of faith. They're not dealing with a little bit of faith. They're not dealing with a little bit of faith. They're dealing with a big God. Not that little bitty God. They got a lot of faith. You don't even have to tell them what it is. God knows what it is, and they know you need prayer. You don't have to say who it's for. You don't have to indulge anything. Just come. Stand in front of them. They will immediately start praying for you. Prayers of a righteous person. It's powerful and effective. I'm going to pray first, and then Roger's going to kick it off, and let's get going. Lord in heaven, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you do. I thank you for all the healing that I see. Lord, I pray when my faith is small, you show me something else that enlarges it. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, so that we have an opportunity to live forever. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. In your name we pray.